In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's gotten to be something of a joke lately that I'm tripping over my tongue and all kinds of things. And the elders met last Sunday, and they're going to dock me $1 for each mistake I make during the service. So I need two people to keep count of that. You know, church, I may end up owing the church. Six so far? Is that all? I think you missed two. In those days, Matthew writes, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. This was his proclamation, his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the message of the one who is the forerunner of Jesus. You remember from Matthew's gospel how when Mary heard that her kinswoman Elizabeth was with child, she journeyed from Nazareth to Elizabeth's home in the mountains of Judea. And when she greeted Elizabeth, John, 6 months in Elizabeth's womb, leapt for joy. And Elizabeth launched into praise. How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to see me? For as soon as I heard your voice, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Earlier in St. Luke's Gospel, Zechariah is told by the angel Gabriel in announcing John's birth that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. And so John had faith. John recognized the voice of his Lord. John knew him. It is possible for a baby to have faith in the womb. Consider Christian parents who are regularly in church, and that child in his or her mother's womb is regularly exposed to the word of the gospel, the good news of Christ. Don't say that infants can't believe, because the example of John in Elizabeth's womb shows that they can by the grace and Spirit of God. Anyway, some 30 years later, John shows up in the wilderness of Judea preaching a message of repentance, baptizing for the remission of sins. And it was no accident that John showed up, because his appearance was prophesied by Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Matthew says, this is the one whom Isaiah spoke of. John dressed in the style of the Old Testament prophets who lived out in the wilderness. He wore a garment of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Did any of you have that for breakfast this morning? Locust. And these locusts were the only clean insect that a Jew could eat. John apparently became something of a celebrity. Who was this wild man? The son of a priest, no less, who was there in the wilderness by the Jordan, there near the Dead Sea, talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it has come near, and telling people to repent and be baptized. Who is this man? Well, the people came. The people came to hear John's proclamation, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. We confessed our sins this morning. You probably confess your sins at night before you go to bed, or maybe even throughout the day, because otherwise, how would you keep up with them if you're a big sinner like I am? Repentance and confession comes from a heart that has been tenderized by the Spirit of God. We confess our sins knowing that God has provided a Savior for sin. We gladly acknowledge ourselves to be poor, miserable, sinful human beings because that's the type of person that Jesus came for. As he put it, the righteous have no need of repentance, but sinners have need of repentance. The problem is you can look and look and look around, you can peer under your seats, you can look behind the curtains, go into all the rooms and all the bathrooms of Mount Olive Church, and you won't find a single righteous person. Even when you look at yourself in the mirror in one of the bathrooms, you will not find a single righteous person. So according to Jesus' words, we all are called to repentance. Some of the bigwigs of the Jerusalem religious scene came out to see John. Pharisees and Sadducees, they came to him for baptism. Now, the Pharisees were kind of like the moral majority of the day, and the Sadducees were kind of like mainline liberal churches. The Sadducees, from whom the priests generally came, accepted only the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. No other books were viewed as authoritative by them. They disbelieved in the resurrection. They believed that when you died, and that was it. And they really had no hope for a Messiah to come. So here's John, the diplomat. Here's John, concerned over the tender feelings of those who come to him. He sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism. You know, these higher ups in the religious community of Judea, and he greets them warmly. Repent, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Show your sincerity in your repentance by bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Good works, works of love. Don't look out for yourselves alone. Look out for the people whom you are called to shepherd. And above all else, don't presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. We have been Jews, my family, all the way back to Abraham. God is pleased with us on account of that. We are Jews of Jews and Hebrews of Hebrews. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that day. If you have had a wonderful Christian heritage, if your parents brought you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that is a truly wonderful thing. But you can't be saved by your parents' faith. You can't be saved by your parents' repentance. John points the finger, his accusing finger, at each one of us today. And Truly, we are that brood of vipers that John addresses, who warned us to flee from the wrath to come, the judgment of God. Well, it is the law of God, the commandments of God, for they show us our sin. The commandments condemn us because we do not keep them in their entirety as God demands. And thus, trusting in ourselves, in our own miserable works of righteousness, the wrath to come would surely wipe us out. Don't say to yourself, hey, I'm a member at Mount Olive. People laugh at you if you say that. God won't be impressed. God won't be impressed if your ancestors are Lutheran all the way back to Adam and Eve. What counts is you. What counts is your relationship with God. What counts is you hearing His word and heeding what that word says, being a hearer of the word and also a doer. What counts is your faith? What counts is your repentance? What counts are your good works? Now, no, you are not saved by these at all. You are saved by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And when you understand what it is He commands, when you grow closer to the Lord through word and sacrament, this is driving me nuts. Back again it goes. You will recognize what a terrible, awful sinner you are. But you're the kind of person, the very kind of person for whom Jesus came, for sinners. To repent means literally to have a change of mind. And in the Bible, you change your mind about the sin that once seemed so good and life-giving, you know, so enjoyable, but it pulled you away from God and His grace. So repentance means changing your mind about your sin and its so-called allures and seeing things God's way, as you look to the Savior whom God has provided in Christ Jesus. John goes on to say, God is able from these stones, these lifeless stones, to raise up children for Abraham. And those lifeless stones were the Gentiles, those outside the covenant of grace, you and me. According to Galatians, we are children of Abraham, we Christians. We are in an unbroken line going back all the way to the patriarchs of the Old Testament, worshiping the one true God, trusting in Him for His grace and His mercy. John concludes with a threat. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The good fruit that the penitent, that those who trust in Christ for salvation, the good fruit that they bring forth are works of love toward their neighbor. And we don't invent these works of love. We look to God's law, the Ten Commandments, to tell us what a work of love is. So, for example, the Fifth Commandment tells us, you shall not murder. And then the Catechism explains we should not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body. Yeah, that's the negative stuff we don't do. But what are we called to do? Help and support him or her in every need. Works of love, the fruit of repentance, the good fruit that comes from faith in Christ. Then John concludes his sermon. And this is an example of his preaching. It's not a full sermon. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire spoken of here is a cleansing fire, moving us towards sanctification. His winnowing fork is in his hand, however, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. It's a picture of hell, an image of hell. The chaff is those who do not believe, those who reject the gospel of grace, those who think they're okay. They don't need forgiveness. They don't need God's grace. They don't need his mercy. So here, in the second Sunday of the church year, as we move steadily toward Christmas, we have a twofold message from John. Repent. The kingdom of God is come near. The coming one is mightier than I. His sandals I am not worthy to even carry. He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. So we stand here on the brink of the Old Testament era, and John is the first prophet of the New Testament era. We stand here and we listen to the entire message of the Bible, which is basically pointing us to Jesus. He's the coming one. He's mightier than us. Certainly mightier than John. And he's the one who takes himself to the cross as the Lamb of God to carry away the sin of the world. So let's conclude with this. Repent, you and I. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that kingdom is at hand in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.